At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's also time for Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Warriors made 16 threes in Portland despite the loss. Means another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Steph with 7, Draymond had 3, 6 others chipped in with 1 apiece, and so we're 3 for 3. That's the third donation of the year for Triples for Autism. If you'd like to make a donation yourself or get involved in any way, go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. All right. Let me read something to you.
Sure.
Check this out. See what you think. Try this one on for size, because I know this is always, anytime the Niners lose, here we go. Because is it me, or is my memory not serving me, that so far this year, when the Niners were 5-2, considering all of the injuries that they've had, have we or have we not heard a whole lot of, dude, Shanahan and Saleh, like, bang.
In their bag, for sure.
Jamming year for Shanahan and Saleh, right?
Yep.
A lot of that. All right. So now you lose in Houston. And now we're back to... I've heard this all day long.
Really?
The word genius with air quotes around it. So I'll qualify the conversation we're about to have with the same thing I've done 1,000 times. I don't know where this whole genius thing came from. It pisses people off something awful, but I don't know where it came from. Like, Kyle Shanahan has not called himself a genius.
Kind of like the two timelines thing.
Right.
The Warriors, like, never talked about two timelines, but it became a narrative. It became jargon, lexicon.
So many of you are triggered by the boy genius, Kyle Shanahan, and I'm trying to figure out where that came from. And if it came from analysts in the NFL saying, man, Kyle Shanahan, like, right, did it come from Richard Sherman's podcast? Like, Kyle's a genius. Well, that's not Kyle's fault. That means that people around the NFL think very highly of Kyle Shanahan. And I think we should probably, I don't know, listen to that on some degree. Doesn't mean that we're not allowed to point to certain things. Whatever. Remember Juice and the play call a couple of weeks ago? Yeah, that one went over not so well. How about when they threw the ball 5 yards back to McCaffrey yesterday? How'd that go?
That was a bad one.
Bad one. Okay. So here we go. 925. At what point, because now it's our fault, at what point will you start talking about Shanahan's offense? For a genius, he's been averaging less than 24 points against a weak schedule, and the defense is again saving the team. What is your response to that comment?
Well, in a small sample, the defense did not save the team yesterday. The defense gave up almost 500 yards of offense. So in a broader, in a broader way to look at it, yeah, I think the defense this year has been better than the offense. And the thing that I look at most particularly is that you're 32nd in the league in yards per carry for a team that loves to run it. The Shanahan offense is predicated on running the ball. Now, is that a reflection of Shanahan and his coaching, or is it the personnel? Yesterday, I did not like the game that he called. I didn't think he mixed it up enough. You didn't go to multiple tight end sets, which I think is a great change up that they use that most teams don't see very often. They didn't do that. I thought that they were mostly milquetoast yesterday, but for the year, the defense has been slightly better, I think, but it doesn't mean that if the offense is not having a great year and you're not running the ball, passing-wise, they've been pretty good. They've been near the top in passing yardage because you have to be, but I don't think that it has to be a reflection on Shanahan and his relative genius.
Listen, let's go a little bit deeper into this for a second because, A, I want to go game by game and you tell me who was better, the offense or the defense. That's number one. Number two, what other coach would you judge and ask for him to still be genius and average north of 25 points a game when he doesn't have his quarterback? Tell me that. Who is that in the league? I just want to know that. Whatever you think about Mack and Brock, that's your opinion. But what other coach in the NFL would you expect and demand 25 to 30 points a game when the backup quarterback is playing all the games? Does another one of those coaches exist? John Harbaugh's playing with his backup. They're 2-5. They suck. They have not even been able to function as a team. Who else? Who else are you demanding still looks good on offense when the quarterback is hurt? And that's not even to mention players like George Kittle, Ricky Pearsall, and multiple offensive linemen who were out yesterday, two of their starting five.
Well, as I mentioned so earlier, the Niners have four wins from their backup quarterback, and the rest of the league has seven.
Exactly.
So does he not get credit for that?
I don't know why he wouldn't.
Right.
I don't know why he wouldn't.
Max got four wins. The rest of the league has seven combined.
Actually, I would credit much of Kyle for rebirthing Mac Jones and, to a degree, a lesser degree, but Sam Darnold. Both of them have credited this system for revitalizing the way the world looks at them.
Right.
But okay. How about if we go game by game? Because I'm interested in that whole idea of the defense has been better than the offense. I want to say you're right, but let's go game by game. Seattle, who was better, offense or defense?
The defense.
Defense, agreed. New Orleans, who was better, offense or defense?
Probably the offense, I mean, honestly, that one I don't think really mattered.
I don't know. Spencer Rattler threw three touchdown passes and another one that the wide receiver dropped. He got benched yesterday.
Yep.
All right, on to Arizona. This is an obvious one. Who was better, offense or defense?
The defense.
Defense, though Marvin Harrison dropped a couple of balls. Jacksonville, who was better, offense or defense?
The offense. It's close. I would say the offense.
I agree with you. Neither of them were great. Brock turned it over three times.
They turned it over four times.
Yeah.
As a team.
Who was better in L.A., offense or defense?
Probably the offense, but that one's almost a tie because the offense went pop, pop, and then that's about it.
And the defense made big plays in the end.
Yes.
But
game-saving plays.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay.
That one's close.
I think Jacksonville and L.A., both of them are close. Tampa Bay, who was better, offense or defense?
I mean, neither was great.
Right.
But I would say, I mean, you'd have to probably say, I guess you'd say the offense,
And again, that was the game where Fred Warner goes out.
Two turnovers. Yeah, but we're going to put aside injuries because you're playing football with who you have. Like, you haven't had Pearsall, you haven't had Bosa and Fred, so we're just talking about who's actually playing.
Okay, so this is going to be a fascinating one. Atlanta, who was better, offense or defense?
The defense.
Okay, that's interesting. And I think, again, you'll look at the point total and you'll go, oh, defense. Christian McCaffrey was the NFC player of the week.
Right, and again, it's all complimentary football.
Right.
And in that game, because you ran it so well, the defense had the ability to be fresher and the defense had the chance to be great. And they completely confused Michael Penix Jr. Another guy, well, I don't think he got benched. I guess he's hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt.
But that was, for me, a perfect example of complimentary football. Yesterday was the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, yesterday. I mean, I'd love to hear you pick. Who was better yesterday, offense or defense?
I would say, I mean, probably neither.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean,
I would say the defense, just because they held Houston to 1-for-5 in the red zone.
The field goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, the offense was so bad in the first half that, I mean, they asked a lot of the defense. The defense played 41 minutes of football.
Yeah,
that's
no, it doesn't
work. That's
the
most in the Shanahan history. They've never had that little offense in time of possession.
And so, again, here comes the exact same texter. No way. The defense caused the fumble at the goal line with the Rams. That was defense. Come on. Okay, so Alfred Collins punched Kyren Williams, and now the defense won the game, even though Mac Jones, with the script, walked out on the field on Thursday Night Football and went bang, bang, 14-0. But Alfred Collins, one play, and now the defense won the game. And by the way, neither one of us said that game was clear. That one's tough to call.
Yep.
But whoever you are, and thank you for listening, you're clearly being too hard on the Niner offense. Clearly. And you're elevating a defense that, though understandable, which is what I've been saying all day, has not played great football. I think, by and large, the majority of this year, we've come in here on Mondays and went, dude, Shanahan and Saleh are doing some unbelievable work. They have more games lost to injury and more games lost to injury by significant players than any coaching staff in the league, certainly than any coaching staff that's currently in a playoff spot. And it's not even close. How, for whatever reason, someone used the word genius and you're triggered by Kyle Shanahan's inability to go up and down the field on the defense that I, by the way, think is the best defense in football. And you want them to go on the road with a backup quarterback and 3/5 of their starting offensive line, and you want them to just carve knife through butter because analysts called Kyle a genius? I don't know why this is so hard for people. This is not the year to rip the Niner coaching staff. Like, not it just isn't, my opinion.
I would mostly agree with you. I thought yesterday was a time where you would look at it, and I didn't see Grandy's grades. We'll get into them tomorrow on the program, but I didn't like a lot of what I saw. I didn't see any changes, no adjustments, no creativity in the play calling, and I know it's tough when you literally can't get a first down until the end of the first half, but even when you came out, you came out with your second half script and you went 3-and-out again. So I know that the Texans defense is elite. And if you look at the advanced analytics, they are the top defense in EPA, expected points added per play.
Very, very
good, especially against the pass. And they made life very difficult. But your offense has been underwhelming by and large. They're 26th in the league in points per game, which is the lowest any Shanahan team has ever been ranked since he's been the head coach. That, to me, it's eyebrow-raising, for sure.
6-5-0. The 49ers lead the league in passing. 95.7 The Game listeners live to hate. I'm a season ticket holder, and everyone in the stands likes Shanny.
Yeah, they're actually number two now in passing yards.
Yeah.
But again, for me, that's not what Shanahan wants.
No,
he doesn't want to lead the league in passing yards.
No, he doesn't want to, but he kind of has to because they have been unable to run the ball.
32nd in yards per carry at 3.4 per carry.
Yeah, and they've had one game where their run game looked good, like really good.
Yeah.
And it was last week against the Falcons.
And that's where complimentary football, you run it, you keep it, you possess it, your defense stays fresh, and you win. And
yeah,
when they don't win the time of possession battle, they are far below 500 as a team.
Yeah, I'm with you with regard to yesterday. I don't think it was like this perfectly or even well-coached game. It wasn't a well-played game. Didn't like the offense, didn't like the defense, didn't like the game. So, like, again, we can do this on a week-to-week basis, but if you're going to come with an overarching thought on either side of the coaching staff, I just think this is not your year. I really don't. I think if you want to just take a step back and look at the fact that all that we could list and talk about, and the Niners are 5-3, that's like, it's coaching staff, they're doing a pretty good job. They're doing a pretty good job with some really rough circumstances. And they're, as you said, they're figuring out things to do that are out of their comfort zone to try to win football games. I didn't sit down on Thursday night over at Sam's Tavern and with the Rams game and think that the Niners were going to walk out on the field and Kendrick Bourne, who had just been signed, been going for $1.42, and it's going to be 14-0 before I get a drink? Like, okay, but like, I don't know, man. I think these coaches are doing some pretty – I think it's incredible that the Niners are 5-3, and you and I were having a conversation earlier about sort of our surprise-o-meter after each game.
Right.
I find yesterday to be way less surprising than some of the wins.
No doubt. I was more surprised that they beat Seattle on the road in the opener. I was certainly more surprised on a short week that you went to L.A. and you beat the Rams. And I was probably more surprised that you lost to Jacksonville at home, even though I picked the Jags and I love Trevor Lawrence. But yesterday, when you think about it, having watched it now a couple of times, it makes sense the way that went. Your offensive line is not great. And I apologize if you're somebody out there who thinks that they're the bee's knees just because your tackles are both in the top half of the league. Your offensive line is not very good. And you're patently bad at running the football. You're dead last in running. And that's why they are throwing the ball. They've had the third most passing attempts in football this year. And here are Shanahan's ranks based on pass attempts in previous years. They are 29th. 16th, 29th, 22nd, 32nd, 22nd, 3rd. Which one stands out to you, Mark?
Yeah, the 3rd.
Because they can't run it.
Right.
And if you can't run it, you either have a bad running back, they don't, or you have a bad offensive line, they do.
Well, my issue with the offensive line isn't even about how each guy is performing right now. It's about the lack of depth and therefore sort of preparedness for what I would think you would go into a football season assuming. I'm assuming a couple of the big guys going to get hurt. I'm assuming that a couple of the big guys are going to get hurt. And I want depth there, and I want some experience there. And so I don't feel like, and I get it, the Niners really wanted to go after the defensive line in the draft. I understand that. I don't, like, not support that. At the same time, I don't think that the depth at offensive line was adequate to really get after it this year. And then when you get a couple of the people that you thought that you could really rely on who perform, but perform even like a little bit less of a level than you thought, Trent Williams, Dominic Pooney, when you get that, it's like very quickly you can slip into being a below average group. And I don't think you can win in the NFL with a below-average group on the offensive line.
Especially when you get down to the twos, so to speak. And we've been talking a lot about the Colts and how awesome they look. And their offensive line, they've got a third-rounder, they've got a first-rounder, Quentin Nelson. He's going to Canton when done playing.
He's amazing.
Their center is a fourth-rounder from 2 years ago. Their right guard's a third-rounder. Their right tackle was drafted in the Quentin Nelson draft. He's a second rounder, and oh, by the way, their backup left tackle they took this past year as a fourth rounder. These are all guys that they drafted. Many of them they've kept now for 7 or 8 years. They've gelled. They're a good unit. The 49ers don't have that. You've got a 37-year-old Hall of Famer who is still very good. Your right tackle, boy, he had a hard time yesterday. Understandable when you're going up against Will Anderson.
Yeah, he's had a decent year. Decent.
Your center's a backup who was making his second start of his career.
Oh, of his career, yeah.
Your right guard is having a down year. Don't take it from me. Take it from John Feliciano.
Yeah, he's hurt.
And your left guard is a seventh-round rookie who isn't supposed to be playing yet. Right. So I understand it, but you talk about process versus results. Time for their process to involve draft capital on the offensive line.
I think you're right. I think that's fair. Dave in Pleasanton, as we get out to the phones. Thanks for holding. Dave, what's going on? You're on the air.
Hey, fellas. So I got a couple of points. I'm not here to dog Shanahan. I do think he's a good coach. He does have his weaknesses. But those are certain things. Like last year, there was a stat that he has a horrible, if he's behind in the second half, he barely ever wins. He has to be ahead in the first half to complete that game as a win. But I called mainly because what's ridiculous is we have led the league since he's been a coach in injuries. It was posted right on the screen for everybody to see. And we have yet to fire our training staff. I don't get it. And I am worried about the offensive line, as I am every single season, because we don't prioritize it. Namely being, I saw Trent Williams last week get pancaked by a DB. That should never happen. Right, and then we had Colton McKivitz, who got paid like a better-than-average right tackle, and he got demolished all game by a good defensive line. Don't get me wrong, but it just proved again that we don't care about our offensive line. I'm not saying off with Kyle Shanahan's head, but there comes a point where you have to realize injuries are a problem, and the training staff is directly correlated with that problem.
Yeah, and Dave, I think you have some points. That particular one, thank you for calling, I don't agree with. I don't know, Dibs, where you sit on this. First of all, there have been changes through the years on the Niners' strength and conditioning staff. There have been some changes there. But secondarily, I look at it as, that is a too easy of an A to B thing that we as fans do when people like Fred Warner have very large human beings fall on the back of their leg and have it turn sideways. You look at the injuries that we're looking at, and then if you also, I understand that we lead the league, I get it, but if you look around the league and see what's going on right now, it's breathtaking. It's absolutely unbelievable. I have 5 fantasy leagues, and I think I could count on one hand how many times people that I drafted in the first 3 rounds have played football this year.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane, the number of injuries that we're watching around the league, and significant ones too. So I know that it may sound silly to be like, how can it be the same team almost every year? I get that. At the same time, I look at the specifics of these injuries. I'm not going to be putting people's ACLs blowing out. I'm not going to be putting people having bones go the wrong way on a strength and conditioning staff. So I think it's bad luck.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. Bad luck is one of them. Just looking at profootballhistory.com, Ray Wright was strength and conditioning for 2017 and 18. Dustin Perry from 2019 to 2021. And now Mike Nicolini.
Yeah.
So I believe they've changed it out a number of times. So what is the common denominator? It's Kyle Shanahan. Now, do the Niners go about things in a different, more violent way? That's hard to say. We do know that they like to play very physically. And when you play that way, you are going to sustain more injuries. So I think it's a combination of all the possible factors. But the bottom line reality is you got to deal with it. And you're 5-3, and now you're playing a bunch of backups, and you've got some guys who aren't going to be coming back. So next man up.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll keep going on the phones. We're talking all this out after the Niner loss on 95.7 The Game, and it's presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 9 matchup between the 49ers and the New York Giants. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Jose in Oakland, you're next up. Hi, Jose. Thanks for the call. What you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. I'm commuting home. Marcus said that this is not a year where we have to take issue with the, you know, with the coaching stuff and the way they're coaching the game. I wouldn't. I think they're doing the best they can, but I do take an issue with the fact that the administration at this, you know, in this case, Kyle, you know, has taken the, you know, defensive line too lightly. It's something that it seems like they insist on having your slider players and you know, picking up guys on the 5th, 6th round, 7th round, you know, to just plug them in with the offensive line. Okay, that is an issue that has caused quarterbacks to get injured. If we had a good offensive line, there's no reason why Kittle shouldn't be catching passes instead of catching injuries. That's my issue with the offensive line and the offensive play altogether. Now, going back to the defense, the injuries, they're freak injuries. There's nothing much you can do, but their refusal to try to pursue an elite pass rusher put extra pressure, added pressure in the linebacking crew. You have Warner there to cover some of the faults. He's no longer there now. What do you do? I mean, Huff is not going to do it all by himself, and now he's out too. So even if you wanted to go after an elite pass rusher, he's going to cost you more than it would have cost you if they had acted right after Bosa went out. At this point, I'm not going to say it's all over, give up, but I see it very, very difficult for them to do anything other than just finishing somewhere in the middle of the pack. And that on itself is bad, too, because that means that their draft position is going to be somewhere in the middle of the draft for next year, too. So it's not even like they're going to be able to get, pick some of the top players there. It's a total debacle, if you ask me.
Jose, thanks. I think those are some fair points in there.
Yeah.
And again, when we're talking about, for me, this is not the year to rip the coaching staff. I'm talking about the eight games that we've talked about. Now, the construction of the roster from the beginning, did they leave the offensive line too thin? I think that's fair. Now, whether or not they could have acquired another pass rusher by now, I think that, I hear that a lot. And I've been interested in it at times as well, but I think we've got to give a little bit of room for the fact that, you don't make trades very often in early or mid-October. The Niners had a need, if you want to go back to the Arizona game when Bosa walks out of there, and sure, you could call someone week four. You can do that. The premium that you would have to pay to make a trade at that time when no team has eliminated themselves because it's only week four, that stuff doesn't happen until this week and early next week. So I get it. I get it why the 49ers have not pulled the trigger on a big deal, because you don't make them that early. And then right when you'd think about making those phone calls and talking it out, you lose Fred Warner for the season. And then I think there's a very fair conversation as to how hard do we want to chase this year? What kind of assets do we want to give up in order to go after a year where Bosa and Fred aren't going to play? You're not going to be a great defense this year, no matter what you do.
And I also think that, and I said this earlier, I made the point of, if you want to go out and get to that caliber, you need three or four, maybe five players at this point. And offensive linemen who are really good, they don't get traded, and when they do, it's not in the season. Trent Williams got acquired in April of 2020. That was an off-season deal. So where you have needs, a lot of teams are not going to be looking to help you out in the middle of a season. And I do disagree with what Jose was saying about the approach. The Niners do go with a lighter, a faster, more agile line, and it's worked for them. If you look at what they've done rushing under Shanahan, they're always near the top in yards per attempt. This year, they're 32nd. Last year, they were 7th. The year before that, they were 4th, with the same approach and largely the same offensive linemen. So this year, it's for a number of different reasons. I think you need to address the center position in the offseason. You need to do something about a tackle of the future. You've got to allocate some resources to your offensive line.
I agree with that. That to me is the one thing that we really just don't have the explanation for it. I would love the deep dive, because I do respect this coaching staff. I'd love the deep dive on why they approach it the way they do, why they seem to think that, we can find diamonds in the rough, later rounds, undrafted free agents, kind of build the depth that way, and then get production. And for a lot of time during the Kyle Shanahan tenure, they have gotten that production. Obviously, they've had a good offensive line at times, because they've been really good offenses and they've run the ball really, really well. Is it ever perfect? It's never been perfect. I don't think any offensive line is. But this year, it felt like there was a neon sign going into the year of, yeesh, the interior offensive line is going to need some help. And the Niners kind of treated it like a teenager with a test tomorrow.
Blow it off.
It'd be fine. And I'm sure that's not how they actually dealt with it, but that's how it felt. That's how it felt to us fans. And then to now get this kind of production, you're going to have some upset fans. I get it.
Right. And you let two guys go in the offseason to free agency, players who you had drafted, and you re-signed McKivitz to not a monster deal. It's a pretty good team-friendly deal, but you've got him now as your tackle, and your left tackle's 37. So I just look at not only this year, but you talked about this before, like this year is kind of setting you up for next year. Well, you can't come back next year with this same group of offensive linemen. You need to find a center. You need to find at least one guard, probably not two guards. I like Dominic Pooney, and he can bounce back, but you need to find a third tackle who can be your tackle in the future. And I mentioned Indianapolis earlier. They used a fourth-round pick this year on a tackle, mm-hmm. and he doesn't play because they don't need him to play, but he's clearly going to be their tackle of the future, and that's what the Niners need to start thinking about.
I mean, I don't even know how many offensive line they usually carry on the entire roster. And I know there's practice squad, and people are getting picked up all the time or whatever.
Usually, but I think 7 or 8 in a game.
Yeah, like I gotta think you want to go into the year, and I'm sure you do this at every position, and I'm sure it's hard. But I got to think you go into every year going, all right, what do we do if that guy gets hurt? All right, go to the next position. What do we do if that guy gets hurt? And you got to do your best to have an answer there that you feel good about on the lines. I don't think you need to do that at wide receiver. I don't even know that you need to really, really do it at running back. You know what I mean? Like, last year, it was like, well, what do we do if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt? I don't know. Jordan Mason can come in and lead the league in rushing. So there's different positions have sort of a different vibe at that. But as far as on the lines, both offensive and defensive line, I really would love to have a strategy in place for each guy and what happens if they get hurt. And maybe they do. Maybe they do. But the strategy so far this year on the interior offensive line has not worked.
No, and you've gone from, you know, Brendel at center to Matt Hennessy. And, you know, it's been hit or miss, and you've had to go from Ben Bartsch, and then you go to Connor Colby, and you start to look at your depth pieces, as you're mentioning, and they're never going to be great because they're second-string guys. And so just by nature, you're not going to have 7 or 8 awesome offensive linemen, and the injury bug has hit them there too, where your center's been hurt and your left guard has been hurt as well. And so as you go forward, you realize that, yeah, you need to get better in your starters, but you also need to have, like you're talking about, better depth pieces. So when you lose a guy, and Connor Colby's doing his level best, and he's in there, he's played 80% of the snaps, and you didn't go into the year thinking he was going to play 80% of your offensive snaps.
No.
But because of injury, you had to throw him in there.
Yeah, and he's had some moments. Like his first couple games in there, we were feeling pretty good about it. But all in all, the interior defensive line has not been what you're looking for. It has not been what you're looking for sure. And so, you know, that's going to have to change. That said, I keep getting struck by this today, and it really was kind of last night when it was the first time that I was like, let's dive into the NFC and what it's looking like. And unless you feel like a second half run is really on the table for Dallas or Washington, I'm going to blow off the Giants, they're 2-6, or Chicago or Minnesota, who's handing things back over to J.J. McCarthy, Wentz out for the year, or Carolina or Atlanta, forget New Orleans, they're done, and even the Cardinals, but they're kind of done, they're 2-5. Unless you think one of those teams has a second-half run in them, well, then the Niners are going to the playoffs this year. I mean, sure, one of these teams could get going, but it would surprise me. I will still say it that way. As of today, with yesterday's performance in my hip pocket, I would be surprised if the 49ers don't go to the playoffs this year.
It really, for me, comes down to Chicago and Carolina, and you play both still. Chicago's a team that, you know, they could pose problems there at Cincinnati this week. Winnable game.
Yeah.
Carolina is at Green Bay. That's going to be tough for the Panthers, but it might come down to those two head-to-heads. If you win both of those, then yeah, you start to think about tiebreakers for those teams. And I do agree with you mostly on the other teams. Like New Orleans is out. Arizona, I don't think that they can go on that much of a run. Minnesota at 3-4 is interesting, but I don't know about J.J. McCarthy. I think that he's looked a little shaky early. So, I mean, I wouldn't count them in. And Washington's another team. They're, you know, taking on Kansas City now.
Right.
An upset there makes them more of a threat. But
no doubt.
In general, I do think that you're looking at a 10-7 team will be the 7 seed, and the Niners at 5-3 have an inside track to be 10-7.
Yep. I definitely still see it, especially looking at what we're looking at in terms of the schedule and the flow. And how many times have we all learned to not look too far ahead because I don't know who's going to be available and whatnot. But if we do look at it through that glass of like relative health, I mean, I definitely think, and I know some of you don't agree with me on this, but why would I look at a 5-3 first half with optimism into the second half of the year? I don't know. Maybe the quarterback will play in the second half of the year.
Maybe.
What about that? Like, shouldn't that probably win you some games? I think the quarterback's going to play in the second half of the year. And it's awesome that the 49ers have a really good backup. But I think that the last 2 weeks have maybe also, or actually I should say last 3 weeks, I think Mac Jones has A, not been the problem, but B, I think it's helped the league and maybe the 49er fan base realize that Mac is not out there slinging it as some people sort of felt like he was going into this. Like, there are limitations there. There have always been limitations there. Brock Purdy has some limitations. I think he's got fewer, certainly fewer with his legs. So if the Niners can get Brock Purdy back on the field going into this next set of games, as you put it, the 5 games heading for the bye week, I got to love their chances to do sort of what you asked them to do, which is go 3-2
yep.
in that stretch of 5 and be 8-5 and be in position to play the final four and go to the playoffs.
8-5, you head into the bye, and you split your last 4, and you're in my opinion. 10-7 gets you in.
And one of those last 4 is the Titans. So you should win that.
Yeah, and you got Indy, and you've got Seattle yep. in that closing stretch.
And
so,
Chicago,
which that could be the pivotal game, but
could be.
You just never know how all these teams are going to fare. I think about the next 5 games, and you know this past week, you had your 3 division rivals. They all got their bye, so they're all bye'd up and rested, and all the rest of it. And I think about the Niners right now, coming off the loss, not a good game, and oh, deep breath. You got 5 more games before you're bye. 5 more games.
You got to hit the East Coast again.
Right. And having the late bye is never good, but it's especially tough when you've got an injured team.
Oh, it's good when it comes. It's funny.
And we can ask John Feliciano about this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Would you rather have a super late bye or a super early bye? Because, you know, you can have the week 4 bye, or you can have the week 13 bye. What does a player prefer?
The middle bye is the best.
Of course, Mark, of course.
But I definitely, to me, late is better than early, because if you get early, you know, now you're running 11 straight weeks or whatever straight into the playoffs. I got to think that you're going to be exhausted and injuries are going to pile up as you get there. You want that break. I mean, mentally, isn't it great? I know that like it's a late one, and maybe you don't love that it's a late one, but at least mentally you still have that to look forward to. It's a lot better than when it's in your rearview mirror and you're still dealing with new injuries.
Yeah.
You know?
True, but you sit here now and you lose a couple more guys yesterday. We don't know for how long, but guys are banged up. We know that. And you've already lost a couple stars, and your quarterback hasn't played in a month, and yet you take a deep breath and you get back to work on Wednesday. Tomorrow's the off day, so you chill, you ice up, and you get ready for Wednesday, and you get back Wednesday, and you realize, we got 5 more of these.
Yep.
We got a trip to New York. We got a trip to Cleveland in there as well. So some tough spots and 5 more games before we get a week off. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's okay. These are football players. They like playing football, I think. Hey, engagement is everything on the court and in life. You can vote in our Engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page. Before every game, including a night like tonight, where you got the Memphis Grizzlies in town. It's presented by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler. We asked earlier, the Warriors are hosting the Grizzlies tonight. So, an easy one. Hey, Warrior fans, do you consider the Grizzlies a rival of the Warriors? Well, here are the results. The answer that you and I gave was no.
Yep.
And the answer that Twitter gave was no. Firmly no. In fact, just about 85%. Of you feel like the Grizzlies are no longer a rival. Only 15% of you said yes. So I agree with that. I think that answer would have been a lot different as recently as 2 years ago.
Right, when Dylan the Villain took out GP2. Well, that might have been 3 years ago. Yeah. But yeah, and I mean, Ja is a guy that, you know, you think what you want about Ja. He's a very exciting player, but he doesn't get my hate-ometer going. Like, I kind of root for him, and I hope that he's able to get his off-the-court stuff. He continues down the path of, you know, not flashing guns all the time. I don't think he's done that in a while, no. So I'm happy about that.
He's
a really fun player to watch.
He's a great player.
He's not a guy that really, you know, gets my my cackles up, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you there. Like, there's been some little things with the Warriors and Grizzlies seemingly always through the years. Like, first of all, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., for example, was the one that got under Klay Thompson's skin with regard to the, you know, the comments that he threw out on Twitter. I think it was the strength in numbers thing. You know, the Grizzlies won something, and Jaren was like, strength in numbers. And as soon as the Warriors eliminated them in the playoffs, Klay goes straight to the podium, and he's like, this dude. He's like, that ticked me off. So there's that. Draymond seems to have a thing for Zach Edey. He wants to get under his jersey.
Yeah.
Zach's out tonight. He's hurt. So that's good. But those are like little one-offs. I think that the thing centers around Dylan Brooks. It's not an accident that the Warriors' rival bounces to whatever jersey he's wearing. It's like, Memphis, you're our rival. Well, now I'm a Rocket. Okay, Rockets, you're our rival. And now he's gone. And I don't know, like, if they played the Rockets again in the playoffs this year, maybe.
Well, the KD definitely ratchets it up.
KD and Shingun's always got his palms up, and it ticks everyone off, so there's that. But, yeah, there's levels to this, and Dylan Brooks is the linchpin, if you ask me.
And where is he now, old Dylan Brooks?
Phoenix.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good for you, D. Yeah,
good things don't always come to those who wait.
Well, I mean, he can go out there and get his 15 or 16 a night, and they're going to win 15 or 16 games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, he was in the trade.
That's right.
For Kevin.
I forgot.
Jalen Green, got to make that salary match.
Yep.
Here's Dylan. You can have Dylan.
Off you go.
Yep, yep. All right, the Warriors Summit is next week, everybody. We really want to see you there, okay? Thursday, November 6th, live from Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. All of us host together again, discussing another Warriors season, but a little different this time. As you know, we're not doing it before the year, because the year's already started. So we'll be 9 games in for a little bit of extra flavor for you. It's me and Dibs from 2 to 4. Then the rest of the gang gets there from 4 to 6 from Jack's Restaurant and Bar. Great prizes to give away. Drink specials from Jack's. Your chance to meet us, our chance to meet you. Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill on Thursday, November 6th. We cannot wait to see you there. Still time for your calls at 888-957-9570. And this is Willard and Dibs. Grabbing balls that don't belong to him. The whip of that shaft.
We're going to hope for some backdoor activity.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I mean,
yeah.
We're trying to put together an upstanding product here.
You would think.
And I don't know that we've been put in our best position to succeed today.
No.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you, but
need some better coaching.
Sports is full of double entendre.
Sports, man.
Yeah, you can't, especially golf. Like, you can't a lot of things in golf that you...
Sports, man.
You talk about it and you get it taken out of context, now you're just being dirty.
Yeah. Yeah. Memphis, historically... When they come into town, that feels a little bit dirty, but you're right. It doesn't really feel that way anymore. I would like the Warriors to kind of get back on track. I understand what took place on Friday night. And, you know, today is such a Niners reaction day that this has probably been undersold a little bit. I am excited to get my butt home and get multiple TVs going. And many apologies to the World Series. I'm sorry, you have finished third.
Yep.
You have finished third in my TV watching priorities tonight, and there are only 2 TVs in the Willard home that will be activated tonight. It's an activation sensation.
Yep.
And I am sorry, World Series. Let me know tomorrow morning how it worked out.
Did you see what happened early in the World Series
game? No, I did not.
So, top of the second, Blue Jays have Bo Bichette on first base, 3-1 count to Dalton Varsho.
Yes.
No outs, sorry, runner on first, no outs.
Okay.
And Glass now throws a pitch in on the 3-1 count. It misses the zone, it's high, but it's called a strike.
Okay.
Both the batter Varsho initially thinks it's a ball, starts to walk to first. Then he hears the call and starts to walk back. But Bichette on first thinks it's a walk, so he just starts walking on over to second base, and they quickly throw over and they get him out.
He turned around and faced right field and started walking to second. Like, no, nothing.
I mean, as much as I'd love to be mad at the umps, that's completely on Bichette.
Oh,
absolutely.
Like, that's completely
on him. In the World Series.
And Teoscar Hernandez has hit a home run. It's 1-0 Dodgers.
Mm. Yep.
That's fun.
Teoscar Hernandez.
Boy, I wish I had a third TV so that I could, you know, give a rat's you-know-what about that tonight. But unfortunately, no room for the old World Series. I'd like to thank the Golden State Warriors for playing tonight.
Yep, and tomorrow. Right,
Although they don't play till midnight tomorrow, so that'll be an interesting one tomorrow night.
Is that a Grandy special?
I think Evan's doing tomorrow.
Who's doing the post-game show tomorrow?
8 o'clock start. Like, what, 8:15?
Like, what if you are a Warrior fan who moved to Virginia or something, and starting the game at, because also, the game doesn't start, like, right, you know, like a 7 o'clock game starts at, like, 7:12 or whatever. Tomorrow's game is going to start at 10 minutes after 11 o'clock at night on the East Coast.
Yeah. Well, it's just the way that goes. It is it's a peacock doubleheader is
peacock.
What that is.
Yeah, that's
what
you but be careful.
Well, the first game's at 5, Knicks and Bucks, and right. So the second game's at 8, so it probably won't start late.
Well, now, can someone explain to me the Peacock NBC thing tomorrow? Like, is it just on Peacock, or is it on Peacock and NBC?
I believe tomorrow is just on Peacock. I don't know. Yeah. You also get it on NBC Sports Bay Area. Yeah, okay. Fitz and Bookie, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
But in market only.
No,
the market, you got to watch it on Peacock.
We've had a little bit of a wonky start here with NBC, and people are really worried about Peacock and finding games and all of that stuff. So I just want to make sure that at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, everybody is able to find the game. I'm going to have to send a kid to bed at halftime. I'm already bracing for that fight. That'll be fun.
Yeah, according to NBA.com, it's listed as Peacock, NBC, and NBCSBA, which is, of course, Fitz
that's,
and Mookie.
Well, then
Radio 95.7 The Game.
That's what I'm going to be watching then.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it's 8 o'clock tip.
Right.
Second half of a back-to-back. And then,
I get that extra hour to rest. That's
if you're
exciting.
A Warrior player, two games in two nights, cool, and then you probably get home about, I don't know, 12:30 or 1. You better pack a bag now.
We got a plane flight tomorrow.
You got to get to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And then you play on Thursday against the Bucks.
This is the Pods game.
Yeah.
This is always the one that he circles.
The homecoming,
It's coming at him fast this year, right away.
Yep.
Get your butt to Milwaukee and say hi to Giannis. So, yeah, okay. Three games in four nights, followed by three games in four nights.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of it. And, you know, when you're a popular team, you're going to get a lot of these 8 o'clock Peacock slots. And so here we go, Warriors. Hope you enjoyed your restful weekend. Time to get back there and start playing some ball.
Well, this ought to be interesting now, you know. This ought to be interesting, the schedule this week where, you know, we're still at, I think the Denver game, obviously the Warriors went on a late run. And that made everyone feel good because that's kind of a measuring stick deal. L.A. is too, even though they were missing LeBron. But a little quick two-step here over the next 30 hours to play Memphis and the Clippers. The Clippers have had a little bit of a weird start too to the year. But I'm into this. And then you get Giannis on Thursday night. Play the Pacers over the weekend. But I mean,
another back-to-back.
Yeah.
6 games in 10 days, Mark, is basically what you're going to have.
That's fine.
I mean, sure, you go Milwaukee, then Indiana, a couple days off, then you're home to Phoenix, then you go to Sacramento. So that's not too brutal. That's a bus ride. You know, go ahead and go home and get some sleep. Be back here at 10 in the morning to get on the bus, and we'll drive out to Sac. But
and then fly from Sac to Denver.
It's just, they're packing them in.
Yeah, that's fine.
Steve Kerr always laments this because you don't have time to practice. Like, it's game, off-day game, sometimes games in back-to-back days, and so how are you supposed to develop young players when you don't get to practice?
No, it's a good question, and he's addressed that. And, you know, I know that's been a criticism of his or the entire
question.
Yeah, the organization and all of that. But the way it comes at you right now, it's you can do a little bit of it early in the year, but you get late in the year and you get these situations where it's 3 games in 4 nights. You're damn right. You're going to use that one night off to send them home. Go rest. You know what I mean? Go get your feet in a bucket. something like that. But anyway, I mean, from a fan standpoint, we love it, right? We get a lot of action coming at us here pretty fast and furious. So that'll be fun. Pacers this weekend, I did notice this, and, you know, we talk so much about the Niners missing people for injury, but there's nothing like losing your star in the NBA as far as just you've got a good team that all of a sudden can become almost irrelevant when certain players go down. And I remember the playoffs last year, and you're looking at the Eastern Conference, and you're thinking about what happened to Halliburton in Game 7 of the Finals and what happened to Jason Tatum a few rounds earlier in those playoffs. Obviously, both of them Achilles, therefore both of them are going to miss the entire year. Both teams, 0-3
yep,
to start the year.
Not, there you have it.
Not a win between either organization. Tatum, Halliburton, poof, season over.
Well, and you start, well, Boston completely stripped the thing down, getting rid of Porzingis as well, and Horford left. And so Boston, I'm sure, is already thinking, how many of those ping pong balls can you get in the upcoming lottery? And it just sucks that you're going to have a year that you basically wad up and throw in the trash. But Warriors kind of had that when Steph got hurt, yep, and Draymond was hurtish, and you went 15-50, and you ended up getting some draft picks that next year.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Let's set up the week a little bit, in fact, on that end, and the River Islands guest line. Tomorrow's going to be a big one. Big one, okay? We got Mark Schlereth joining us in the 3 o'clock hour. Want to let everyone know that Nick Friedell is going to be in studio with us tomorrow from 4 to 4:30. And then when we get to... exactly. The laughter starts tomorrow. And then John Feliciano is going to be just 30 minutes later. It's a little deeper, at least in that example. And so he's at 5 o'clock.
I don't do much of the reading.
Well, that's okay. Just answer us. It'll be Schlereth and then Friedell and then Feliciano, Cosell on Wednesday. Steve Kerr will be either Wednesday or Friday. We're not sure yet, but we'll work that out. And obviously we're working on much more. The Giants will introduce their new manager.
That's right.
Thursday morning over at Oracle Park, Tony Vitello. So working on a lot of things. A
lot of things going on, and all roads will lead to the Meadowlands and the New York Giants.
I thought you were going to say Kuminga.
Well, it always leads to Kuminga. We haven't mentioned him all show.
No, I thought, yeah, is it like everything's just calm around Jonathan now?
Right? How fun is that? I missed the drama. Kuminga. Hey, Dibs, your picks a stink.
Well, we'll find out. So far, your pick looks all right tonight.
Flip the pick now.
Yeah, flip the pick.
Flip the pick.
Well, Patrick Mahomes keeps throwing interceptions out here, and then, yeah, it's going to go pretty well for you. Mahomes. Anyway. All right, Granny, what are you about to do here?
Obviously, I'm going to talk about Jonathan Kuminga.
Okay. Warriors Live is coming up here in just a second. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Sure.
All right. Dibs is in. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for today. For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.